Fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Ooh, fashion.
Fashion.
You're listening to Fashion on 95BFM with Penelope Noir.
Kia ora and good morning, Penny.
How are you?
Yeah, good. Now, perfect time of the year for us to be talking about sunglasses.
Yes, I thought we could look into the history. And you asked me a question about whether it was one company that owned all the sunglass brands.
But, yeah, I don't know whether it's an urban legend or something, but I heard that, it was just essentially when you went back far enough, one company basically manufactured all sunglasses and basically owned everything. It was just like one sunglass company globally. Is that true?
There's a couple of main ones like Luxottica, which is Ray-Ban, Oakley, Prada, Burberry, Chanel. There's another one called Cefilo, which is Gucci, Kate Spade, and some others, and Marcolin, which is Tom Ford. So I think there's a few major players.
Okay.
But one of the interesting things that I learned is that out of China, there's one city that's the largest producer of sunglasses, and they export 120 million annually.
Okay. So there's just one town, the Sunglass Town? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man. I hope everyone in that town is just ripping mean sunglasses.
Yeah, but then it makes me just think about where are the sunglasses going when they're broken, you know?
Yes. Oh, yeah, true. Landfill.
Because it's a lot of sunglasses and it's like, whoa. And I guess I kind of tend to think about that sort of thing now, whereas I didn't when I was younger.
But
I want to go back in time to about 2,000 years ago, and the Inuit people were kind of known for the first people who crafted, I guess, snow goggles, which were carved from like driftwood, bone, walrus, ivory, caribou antler, and they were goggles with just very thin slits in them, and they were primarily designed to combat snow blindness, and then they kind of like fitted really tightly to the face. And when you look them up, they just look really weird, but kind of cool, you know? They had carved decorations and things on them as well.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah. And the other thing I didn't realize is that Egyptians wearing kohl eyeliner, that was also to reduce glare from the intense desert sun, not just cosmetic. And I hadn't ever thought about that.
Yes.
Roman Emperor Nero used to look through emerald gemstones to reduce glare from the sun when he was watching gladiator fights, which seems quite extravagant.
Yeah.
In China, in the 12th century, glasses were made from flat panes of smoky quartz called a tai, which meant dark clouds. And they were also worn by court magistrates so they could hide their facial expressions when they were in court.
Nice.
And then in Venice, people wore tinted framed Murano glasses to shield them from the water and the canals. But I guess like the modern day kind of glasses with the frames and everything were invented by a guy called James Ayscough, who was a London optician. And he experimented around the mid-18th century. He made green-blue lenses, which were held together with wire and with the frame extended over the ear. And he was experimenting to improve poor eyesight, so not necessary glasses. But it kind of made me think of Gary Oldman and Dracula. Do you remember, like, there's a scene where he's standing in the crowd and he's wearing these little tiny glasses that are coloured, and they kind of look quite freaky. There's also talk that in the mid-19th century that US Civil War soldiers wore shell spectacles, but I can't work out whether they were made of shell or, you know what, but it was to do with just them walking like long marches and things like that. Syphilis sufferers were very sensitive to light, so they had yellow-brown lenses in glasses. And then I guess kind of fast forward to the 1920s, and the first kind of mass-produced sunglasses were in 1929 by a guy called Sam Foster, and he sold them through Woolworths for 10 cents a pair, and they were called Foster Grants, and they were made from celluloid and sold predominantly in Atlantic City, which was kind of like the beach resort of New Jersey and that sort of thing.
Did he make a packet?
I imagine he did. I think Foster Grant still go, like, it's still in, like, the name is still out there as well. So, like, I think you can still buy Foster Grant.
I just did a quick Google search. A family-owned business for over 90 years, this company is dedicated to providing affordable, stylish, and protective eyewear.
There we go. And in 1937, over 20 million sunglasses were sold in the US. So they started being, like, quite popular, whereas before they were kind of like the realm of the rich, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know what 10 cents in 1929 is worth now, but I imagine it's probably quite a bit.
Yeah.
And then a company called Bausch and Lomb, known for optical instruments and microscopes and things, began to make luxury sunglasses under the brand Ray-Ban. They worked with a US Army colonel called John A. McCready, who to create aviation glasses for pilots, because the goggles weren't sort of like helping with the glare of the white and blue hues of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where those kind of sunglasses took off, the aviators. But then in the 50s, they had Wayfarers. And of course, they were made popular by musicians like Buddy Holly and Roy Orbison and film icons like James Dean. But what I didn't realize is that they were discontinued in the 1970s. Because I guess they weren't being sold anymore. But then there was a major resurgence in the 80s because there were massive product placements in film and TV and
yes.
that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So they came back. And then the other thing that was quite interesting is that Australia was the first country to introduce national standards in 1971.
Wow, that recently. Crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like UV protection and stuff?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Because, like, polarization was invented by a guy called Edwin H. Land. And I didn't know that, you know, because I take it for granted what polarization is, but it's like a special coating on the lenses that reduces glare from, like, reflecting off water and snow and things like that. And mm-hmm. that's why getting polarized sunglasses is probably better for you.
Yes. Okay. Worth the investment.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And so do you have a favorite pair of sunglasses?
I mean, I just rock cheap Wayfarers. The one time that I was like, all right, I'm going to buy a nice pair of sunglasses that I'm going to like keep forever, I went out on a boat and they blew off my face. And I literally owned them for about a week and they just blew off my face and into the sea. And I even jumped in to try and save them, but they were gone. And then I was like, well, that's a sign that I'm just going to have cheap sunglasses for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I think there's like these kind of schools. I think there are people that kind of tend to lose them or break them a lot. And so they go for ones that are a little bit less expensive. And
yes.
then there's other people that are kind of wearing them more as a fashion statement. And
yep.
they're kind of like, they have multiple pairs and it's like high end and, you know, that sort of thing.
I think my thing with sunglasses as well, I just wear like a crazy pair of Wayfarers, usually in a strange color or bright color, and you feel okay putting them in your pocket. So if you go out to a party, you don't mind having them in your pocket, and you can whip them out when the sun has come up the next day and just cruise off.
Yeah, or as you say, wear them at night.
Yes.
Like, sorry, not.
Is that okay? Is wearing sunglasses at night ever been okay?
Well, I think that, like, you know, sometimes I really wish I had sunglasses when I go to some shows and the lights are really, really bright.
Ah, okay, yes. Yeah, yeah.
You know, but I guess if you can walk around and not bump into things, they're pretty good.
Yeah. Okay, and one last question for you, Penny. What is the trend in sunglasses for 2024, 25 summer?
I think they're probably still those little kind of round ones for women that are kind of very 90s inspired, but I think that we'll probably start seeing the big ones again.
Big ones,
I think every couple of years they go from little tiny kind of little Matrix type things to big kind of like 70s film star, big kind of round ones that cover like almost the whole face.
Yeah, I'm into that. The big ones, eh? Yeah, rad.
Yeah.
Hey, Penny, thank you very much. We shall check in with you next Monday.
Great. Have a good week.
You too. Bye.
That was Fashion on 95 BFM with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.